I started my Souls project late 2011. It wasn't called Souls then, wasn't called anything. Wasn't even a project, not even an idea. My life was pretty stressful back then. I'd been with my partner Tracy for nearly 15 years. She was born with the genetic disorder cystic fibrosis, a horrible condition, usually leading to death before the person reaches 30. However, Tracy was lucky in the fact that she had received a double lung transplant, and when I met her, she was in very good health, having had the operation about a year before. But transplants are tricky. Essentially, you are trying to trick your body into thinking that the organs belong to you, and this is done with a cocktail of particularly toxic anti-rejection drugs, which create their own issues. Over the years we were together, her health slowly deteriorated. We had some big scares along the way, and by the summer of 2011, Tracy was almost bedbound again after several bouts of rejection. I think we were both very apprehensive about what lay ahead. There was only going to be one outcome. And as a consequence of caring for Tracy more and more over those final years, my music career, which had never been stellar, was in danger of completely dying out altogether. But I still had a studio in my house, and I think a combination of my increasing anxiety and also a growing frustration to find singers to work with who didn't all sound the same led me to start searching the internet for inspiration. I spent days, weeks, months looking, hoping to find a spark. And then I stumbled across a little record company based in Scotland called Document, who had been releasing remastered field recordings from America. A field recording, according to Wikipedia, is an audio recording produced outside a recording studio, and the term applies to recordings of both natural and human-produced sounds. In the case of Souls, the field recordings I was discovering were mostly recorded in the United States during the 1920s, 30s and 40s. Real people singing folk songs in real surroundings. And more importantly to me, the majority of these people weren't singing for money, or fame, or kudos, simply for the love of singing and the love of the songs. There was just a huge emotional need in me to do something creative, I think, something that would help me get through my day-to-day stresses. Some of these field recordings sonically were too poor for me to use, and some had too much instrumentation on them for me to filter and place in a new song. But there were gems in there, moments of utter brilliance, voices from nearly 100 years ago that would knock the spots off anything you could hear today. And the one thing all the recordings shared in common was an honesty, a realness, no oversinging, no affected vibrato, no auto-tune, just real people with extraordinary voices. So I submerged myself completely in them. Something ignited in me, like adrenaline, but more muted. And a lot of people have asked me why the album took 5 years to complete. Normally, as a composer, you write a vocal melody and lyrics to an already established chord pattern or beat, groove, etc. But this was working the other way around, taking an already established a cappella vocal and then trying to figure out what music could work underneath it. And it took me some considerable time to get to grips with doing things the other way around. The first one I tried was a field recording called Another Man Done Gone by Adele Vera Hall. It's a traditional folk song that dates back to around 1860. I think Vera's recording was made around 1938, and her voice is just stunning. She's probably one of the most well-known and loved field recording artists, so it felt like a pretty good place to begin to me. And it did take me a long time to get the arrangement right. I just kept trying to put too many instruments on it. And then I came to the realization that I was working with one of the most extraordinary voices I'd ever heard, and I needed to respect that and keep things simple. So I just put a guitar on there.